Thanks for listening to this sermon from Spring Hill Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri.
It's so good to be here, to be able to teach and preach what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. Actually, I say laid on my heart. This is just the sermon series we're in. So Jared told me what I needed to preach, right? I'm just kidding. He gave me some leeway on what I could teach. So I'm really excited to be able to teach on giving today. And if you are taking notes, this is kind of the truth I hope to unpack this morning. It's this: when an individual sees God clearly, they give to Him freely. Again, it's when an individual sees God clearly, they give to Him freely. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And as you're turning there, I'll kind of talk about where we've been, right? In Acts chapter 2, if you'll remember with me, the first time the Holy Spirit falls in this way is at Pentecost. And it's such a unique picture in Scripture that we have. We see the Spirit falling and acting upon thousands of people at the same time, and they began to speak languages that they themselves didn't know, but it was amazing because there were people in the crowd that knew what they were speaking, and we see this amazing act of God, and at the end of that, Peter stands up and he begins to preach, and he didn't know it at the time, but he was preaching the very first sermon to the very first church in Scripture. And so we see 3,000 people come to faith in that moment, and they were baptized. And then we have the paragraph that we're studying, the current series. It's called The Gathering. We're studying this paragraph, and what this paragraph is simply just the response of individuals' lives that were changed. We see how the very first church lived with one another. And so last week, Brother Jared, he taught on fellowship. What is true fellowship? And we learned last week that fellowship is, yes, between us and God, and that's the most important piece of that, but it's not seen in the fullness of God's design unless if we continue that fellowship with others in a community of church with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we have to have fellowship. That's where we were at last week. And this week we're going to be talking about giving. So if you'll stand, we'll read the passage together, and then we can dive in. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for your scriptures, your holy scriptures. God, this morning, we're so familiar with your scriptures, or so used to having a Bible in our hands, that we often drift from the truth that when we read your word, it is your voice that speaks. God, when we read the truth of your scripture, it is our opportunity to hear the voice of our Creator. Father, would that truth be afresh in our minds this morning as we study your word? God, would that be true in my heart as I have the opportunity to be able to teach this morning, God? God, would you sharpen my mind to the things that I've studied over the past few weeks, Father, and would you give me discernment, God, on things that I need to say? And more importantly, God, would you give me wisdom on things that I shouldn't say this morning, Father? God, you are good, and I thank you for speaking to your people. God, may we hear from you today. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning we're going to be focused in on verse 45. I'll read it for us again. It says, "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all who had need." So we see one of the things that the first church was doing was they were very generous to one another. And in their generosity, they weren't just giving of their excess to one another. It says they were so in tune with one another that as any had need, they were liquidating assets so that no one would have a need, right? They were selling possessions as any had need. And so that's a good thing for us to pursue as a church. How could we as a church embody that? And as I was thinking about stories in my life or events in my life that have impacted me and my heart and giving and watching others give, the Lord brought me to a memory of Emily and I when we lived in India. And this was before we had children, and ministry looked very different before children. We were a little bit more mobile. We were blessed with a motorcycle in our first term on the field, and what we would usually do is we would pack that motorcycle as packed as we could. Emily had this hiking pack that she put on her back, and we'd stuff it full of clothes and food, and we would network, and we'd figure out where churches and Christians were in villages, and we would kind of just plot our map. And we would go and spend 2 or 3 days in the village with believers or in churches and sit with pastors and encourage those believers. And so the story that I'm remembering is when we went to visit a pastor, his name was Bharat. And Bharat was a young pastor, and he had three children and a wife. And I remember him being so honored to have us as a guest in his home and to be able to provide for Emily and I. And we spent the day in the church encouraging the believers there. And that night, Bharat took us to his house. And he took Emily and I to the room that we'd be staying in that night. And we unpacked our things. And then we went down into the kitchen and ate a meal with their family that night. And they fed us chicken, which chicken is a meat that they don't often get to have. They pulled out they rolled out the red carpet for us, and they fed us like a king and queen that night. After fellowshipping with the family that night, we went to bed and we slept. And early the next morning, I woke up, and something that you need to know about India and village culture is, most of the time, the bathroom is separate from the house. So yeah, I had to leave where we were staying and walk down some stairs to the bathroom. And as I was walking down the stairs to go to the bathroom, I'll never forget the sight that I saw. As I was walking down, I looked into the kitchen that we had eaten in the night before. And I'll never forget what I saw. I saw Bharat and his family laying on the floor, sleeping. You see, Bharat didn't just invite us into his home and give us a spare bedroom for the night. He gave us the bed that his family slept in every night. And I'm humbled by that thought. I'm humbled by him giving of the very little he had to Emily and I. And when I think about what type of giver I want to be, I want to be like Bharat. I want to be like that in the eyes of the Lord. So, two things that I need to address this morning before we dive into talking about giving. The first thing is when we think about giving, or when a pastor says, "I'm going to be preaching about giving this morning," the first thing that enters our mind is our finances, our wallets, right? The way we spend our money. And yes, that is a portion of what giving is about, but I would like for us to think of the heart of giving this morning. I would like to think about what it means to give purely from our hearts, right? And so That's the first thing that I want to say. And the second thing is, anytime a pastor preaches on giving, minds begin to wander, right, and to think. And even though we're going through a pandemic and there's several churches in our community that are struggling financially, that is not true at all at Spring Hill. In fact, you guys have been faithful to continue to give, and I thank you for that. So this sermon is not about we need your money, we need to keep the lights on, not at all. So if you'll allow me to address those two things before we move forward, just remember that. So thinking about this church being a generous people, and we know that they were being led by the disciples' teaching, right? We see that clear command that Jesus gives his disciples in Matthew 28, right? He's the last statements he says to his disciples before he goes up to be with the Lord. He instructs them to make disciples and to teach those disciples everything that he himself taught his disciples when they walked on the earth. So this morning, as I was preparing, what were the pillars? What were the foundational pieces that the disciples were instructing the church on pertaining to giving? What were the things that they were recalling from their time with Jesus? Right, and there's several stories in the Gospels that we could look at. One being Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. If you remember Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector, and the way he made his money was by ripping other people off, asking for more than they owed, right? And he would line his pockets. And after an encounter with Jesus, he was cut to the heart, and he not only wanted to repay everything that he had taken, but he wanted to do that four times over, right? And we see that was an act of giving in response to what Jesus had done. In that moment, Zacchaeus had seen God clearly, and so he gave to him freely, right? Another example that we see in Scripture that the disciples would have seen is the woman with the alabaster jar with the expensive perfume, right? And we see that she's sitting at Jesus' feet with this very expensive perfume. And to those around her, they viewed it as what a wasteful act. But the truth was, she was worshiping God. Like there's no gift too big in that moment. And what a beautiful act of a giving heart in worship. But this morning, so Scripture's riddled with those things and moments that the disciples could have looked at, but. I want to look at the widow's offering this morning. We find that account, the account that we'll be looking at this morning is in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. And it's a familiar passage. I know that we've all probably read it multiple times in our life and been impacted from it. But I want to look at it in our time this morning and make some observations from it. So let me read that to us this morning. Again, it's Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 41. And he sat down opposite the treasury. This is Jesus. So he sat down opposite from the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who were contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on." See, we see this picture, right? I hope you can see it in your mind as I read it. We see this picture of Jesus sitting down and watching, right? He's just people watching, kind of like when we could go to the mall, that's what we did, right? That was kind of a joke because we can't do anything anymore. But Jesus was people watching. He was watching these people. And what he saw with his eyes was so impactful to him, right? So impactful to him that not only he didn't just nudge his disciples and make a comment. No, it says that he gathered his disciples. He sought his disciples out, and he began to teach them in this moment. And so, as the disciples were being taught by Jesus, what were the things that they could have taken from his instruction, or things that they observed in this moment when it pertains to giving? And so I just want to look at three observations that we can see from this widow's offering. The first, if you're taking notes, this is the first point. The first thing we see is we give to a God who sees our hearts. I'll say it again. We give to a God who sees our hearts. And we see that from the story. It's very obvious because Jesus, it says that he sat down and watched, right? He wasn't doing an exit interview saying, okay, why did you give? How much did you give? No, he just watched. And in fact, multiple commentators would say that there's no evidence that we have, especially in this story, that the woman even knew that that Jesus saw her. She didn't even know Jesus was there, which I think is even more beautiful, right? To know that he saw an action that she never knew about. So we see that he watches this woman give. He watches these rich people give in large amounts of money. And the picture that we need to have in our mind is probably how the temple was constructed. See, the treasury was on this wall, right? And the treasury boxes were metal boxes. And the coins, obviously, in a monetary system, the way it worked was the bigger the coin, the heavier the coin, right? The more value the coin had. And common sense says that if you put a metal coin in a metal box, it makes some type of noise, right? And so not only was he watching this, but he was hearing this, right? So I hope that you can see that you have people giving and making a loud noise as they gave. And then you have this meek, poor widow approach humbly and put in the smallest form of currency that she could, and most likely she didn't make any noise at all as she gave. And you know, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives us another instruction about the heart of giving, right? And let me read it for us. Beginning in verse 19, it says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." See, Jesus could look and see where the treasures were being stored up, right? And that's something that we can't do, and thankfully we can't do, right? We can't see the heart and to each other's hearts, right? But Jesus could, and he could see those who were giving, storing up treasures here on earth, right? And that may have been in the form of other man's praise, right? I was thinking through this point and thinking, how do we see this today in our own culture? And I was led to thinking about a gala. Has anybody ever been invited to a gala? If you do, you may not want to raise your hand. Because what a gala is people getting together, wealthy people getting together and making a big deal about the way they're using their wealth and how they're giving to a charitable cause. And as I was researching this, I was led to a website. It's called Looking to the Stars. And let me just read for you kind of what the website says about itself. This is straight off the website. This is what it says. Looking to the Stars is the web's number one source of celebrity charity news and information, covering what the top stars are doing to make a positive difference in the world. The site includes exclusive interviews and a database where fans can learn about their favorite stars' good deeds. See, we live in a world that, you know, it's not just the rich and the famous that go to these galas that celebrate, you know, that's the motive for giving. I mean, We've all been into McDonald's or Hardee's, and they ask if you want to contribute money, and you get to put your name on this piece of paper, and they get to hang it on the wall, right? And you can proudly say, look at that piece of paper. I paid a dollar to put that up there, and that's my gift, right? So that's how we're motivated to give in our culture, right? But the truth is, that's not the picture that this woman gives us in the story. In fact, like I said earlier, there's no proof that we see that she even knew Jesus was there. Her gift was between her and the Lord, right? And so maybe you're here this morning and you need to hear, there's two ways to hear this truth that God sees your heart. Maybe you need to hear it as a warning, right? Maybe you need to be warned that God sees why you're giving. He knows that if it's, and he even knows that better than you know that, which is a crazy thought. Because sometimes I don't even know the own motives of my own heart, right? And so maybe we need to be warned this morning. Or maybe you're here this morning and you need to be encouraged by this truth, that God sees your heart. If you're a young mother with young kids, I know that as in the first couple years of their life, there's a lot of long nights that no one sees, where you're up and you lose so much sleep due to the needs of your family. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to be encouraged by that God sees your heart. He sees your sacrifices. And I hope you're encouraged by that. The second thing we can learn as a pillar of giving is this: we give to a God who has no needs, right? We give to a God that has no needs. We see this from the story in verse 43. It says this: and God called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than those who are contributing to the offering box. See, Jesus was saying that she put in more, which means one of two things, right? Either Jesus is really bad at math and really bad at counting, or he's not talking about money at all, right? And we all know by a simple observation of reading this story that Jesus is not referring to money in this. He's referring to this poor widow's faith and devotion towards God. And so we can give out of our surplus, or we can give out of sacrifice. That's the picture that we see here. And when I was thinking about surplus, my mind initially was drawn to who has the most surplus in our culture today. And I made a list of Jeff Bezos and what his worth is right now, and Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and Mark Zuckerberg, because they all have a crazy amount of surplus, right? And the more I thought about how to unpack this point, the more the Lord convicted me of my surplus that I have in my life. See, the truth is, this past week, the Lord had been just showing me things that I hadn't identified as surplus that really are surplus. And I believe that we all have surplus in our lives on some level. This past week, Emily and I, probably more Emily than me, we were redoing our closet and trying to make room and shuffling things around. We discovered that we're running out of room in our closet, so we had to begin to put clothes into our guest closet and into our hallway closet there. And that was surplus. I never viewed it as surplus, but it is surplus. That doesn't mean that it's wrong to have clothes or anything like that. And then also this past week, Emily was making dinner for the family, and she asked me to get some food out of the pantry for her. And I went to the pantry and I realized, it's not in here. Well, where it was in the garage where we store our excess food, right? I had to realize in that moment that when I say that we have no groceries or we're out of food, That's just meaning that I don't like what we have, right? The truth is, we all say that. We're all familiar with those phrases. And what the truth is we begin to live life looking and comparing ourselves to the right and the left and our culture. And we forget about the surplus that we live in. And that makes it harder to give the way the Lord wants us to give. Because this past week, I was led to this passage in Scripture. It was 2 Samuel 24:24. And leading up to this verse, King David was in sin with God. And he had done something that was sinful, and he was advised to make a sacrifice to God. And so he sought out what he needed was a piece of land to make this sacrifice to God. And so he approached the landowner, one of his servants, and by the name of Aruna. And he said, "Aruna, I need to make a sacrifice to God." And when Aruna said that, he said, "Well, master, you take whatever you want." And King David's response was this. In verse 24, it says, "But the king said to Aruna, 'No, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing.'" And the truth is, this past week has just been a really convicting week for me. Because I can look at my life and think about the things that I give to God and give to my church, and I can think, "Oh man, I'm giving a lot." But then when I lay this question over the top of it, I really have to search my heart. Because the truth is, a lot of times I give gifts that cost me nothing, right? I say, "I'll take my kids to the park to spend time with them," but I'm on my phone, right? I'm not spending time with the kids. I'm just letting them play, right? That cost me nothing. So maybe you're here this morning and that's just a question you need to honestly ask yourself, is when you give, is it coming at a cost to you, or is it just simply out of surplus that you have? And the third and the final point this morning that we can learn from this story is the fact that we give to God in every circumstance. You see, we look at this example of this woman giving, and we don't know very many details about this woman. We don't know her name. We don't know really what she looks like. We don't know where she lives. Really, the only things we know about her are the descriptors we describe this story by, that she was a poor widow. And we don't want to glance over those two very important facts about this woman, that she was poor, so she had very little. And she was a widow, so she is endured great loss in her life. And the fact that she's a widow is, some commentators will say, that's the whole point of this teaching that Jesus is giving his disciples. Is he gathered his disciples and he said, "Look at this poor widow. This is not the person that needs to be giving. This should be the person that we're taking care of." And some commentators would say, what he's saying to his disciples is, "This is not how my church is going to function. This is broken religion right here. We should be taking care of this poor woman." And the fact that she's a widow means that, once again, she's endured great tragedy and great loss in her life. And see, the truth is, we may not be able to identify with this woman and the loss that she's endured in her life, but we've all have our own burdens that we carry. Even as just a baseline in our culture right now, stresses are high. Our burdens are heavy. I mean, we're walking through a pandemic. We can't go to the mall, like I said earlier. life is heavy. There's social unrest, right? I mean, the news, Facebook are toxic. Like, life is heavy, and that's at a baseline. That's not incorporating sickness that we're enduring in our family or our loved ones, watching them suffer. We all have burdens. We all have circumstances. And the temptation when life gets heavy, the temptation is that we begin to grab a hold and cling to what we think is left, right? The relationships that are still in our lives, the money that's still in our accounts. That's our natural reaction, is to cling and hold tight to what is left. But the picture that this woman gives us is the exact opposite of that. See, she realized that even the things that I feel like are left in my life still belong to the Lord. And they're His. And so she gives us this picture of what it means to hold all that we have loosely in our hands, right? And offer them freely to the Lord, because they were always His. And so maybe you're here this morning and you need to realize that you've been clinging to things too tightly. You've been thinking that you're trying to maintain control over things that you really don't have control over anyways. So, closing this morning, what do we learn? What do we learn from this woman's example? Well, we learn that we give to a God who has no needs. We learn that we give to a God who sees the intentions of our heart. And we give in every circumstance we're led through. Maybe the bigger question is why? Why do we give? Why do we have to give? And the truth is, Ephesians 2:8 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not your own doing, but it is the gift of God." See, the gift of God is this, that Christ came and He lived a life that we could never live. He lived a life that we all could never obtain ourselves. And not only did He get to the end of that life and keep it to Himself, but he sacrificed that for us. See, the truth is, the reason why we give is because He's given us an opportunity to have communion with God. He's given us a way past our sin that keeps us from God. We give because God has given first. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, yes, I want to be a good giver, but how do I do that? What does that look like? What are some practical steps that I can take? This past week, I was sitting in a meeting with Jared, and Emily sent me a video on my phone. And the video was of my youngest son, Shepherd. Most of you know of Shepherd, and he's such a joy. And what she sent me was a video of him smiling. See, Shepherd's not super expressive. We say the key to Shepherd is in the subtleness, right? But he was smiling. We don't get a whole lot of those opportunities. So anytime we see them, we try to capture them. And so he was smiling, and she sent me this video, and I was watching it, and I was just like, nothing else mattered in that moment. I was delighting in my son. I was delighting in the fact that I get to call him my son, and he's a blessing to me in more ways than I even realize. But in that moment, things just begin to melt away that were problems, right? There was perspective that I had in that moment, right? And so I'll ask you this. When was the last time that you've delighted in the Lord? When was the last time that you've simply just been captured by who he is? We can call that worship. There's a lot of times that we come and we can just go through the motions, right? Because in the moments of delight in the Lord, we're seeing him clearly, right? In the moments that we have the opportunity to see God clearly, well, then the check is on the table, or our schedules are on the table. It doesn't matter. Like, we have a clear view of who he is and what he's done for us. My yes is there. And so the first thing that we can do moving forward and being better givers is just to simply worship and delight in who he is and what he's done. And then after we've seen him clearly, then we can begin to ask these questions. How's my heart? Does the Lord have all of my heart? Is there anything on a Sunday that I hope that is not brought up? That's a good indicator of whether God has your full heart or not, right? So does God have your entire heart? Because if he has your heart, then he's got the way you spend your time, right? Which would be the next thing that I would say is a practical step on being a good giver. When was the last time you've laid your calendar before the Lord and said, is this what you would have me do with my time? Are these the commitments that you would have for me and my family? Because I want to spend my time in a manner that's worthy of you, Father. So maybe you can just pray over your calendar. Maybe that's a practical thing you can do. And then finally comes money, right? When was the last time that you've created your budget and prayed over it and submitted it before the Lord and truly ask God, is this okay? Is this what you would have me spend and allocate funds to? Am I stewarding my money well? And so that's the final practical thing that we can do this morning, is lay our calendars and our budgets before the Lord and just simply ask, am I a good giver? So as the band comes, I'm going to pray, but I would like for you to respond however the Lord leads. But this morning, we can begin delighting right now. I pray that the Lord leads you to delight in him in these next moments as we worship with one another. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for this beautiful picture of this poor widow who gave everything that she had, Father. God, and the things that we can take away and learn from this example. God, would you speak to our hearts? God, would you do a work in us? Would you allow us to examine ourselves? God, would you allow us to delight in you? Would you allow us to see you clearly, Father? Father, we... In the moments that life is heavy, Father, would you allow us to loosen our grip on everything other than you? God, you're good. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon from Spring Hill Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri.